You're listening to Blood and Water, brought to you by the Field 2020 cohort as part of their Mesa Festival. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, hello, good evening, good day, good light, and welcome to the Blood and Water podcast, a brand new podcast mini-series that seeks to challenge the traditional ideas of family. Thank you all for tuning in and rocking with me. I am your host, Bexy Bex. I am a poet by purpose, a dancer by daydream only, and awesome by everything else. I always feel like a little bit conceited when I say that last line and call myself awesome. But if only you understood the caliber of guests that we have for you throughout this series, you will fully understand why I had to like embellish just a little bit just to try and fit in. So this is part one of a three-part mini series, and we are kicking off today with three amazingly talented individuals joining me in our online studio because, you know, COVID is still a thing. We have Cleo, who is a young actor and writer currently working on a book of his own. We also have Shakira, who is a young actress and has recently tapped into the world of writing and poetry. And lastly, but never leastly, Outlaw Ali is a rapper from North London trying to bring back the old school flavor with a modern twist. God, gee. But before we delve into the beautiful minds of our wonderful guests, let me tell you a little bit about what we have in store for you. You guys are in for a massive treat. We have three jam-packed episodes infusing mindfulness exercises, guest discussions, and even an interactive creative task that we will be doing live as we are recording. Now, each episode, it tackles the traditional ideas of family with a unique question for each chapter. Today, my wonderful guests and I will be dissecting and unpacking the age-old question, what is family? Now, Blood and Water is part of a wider festival called Mesa, which was produced by the multidisciplinary artist Lucine and dance artist Kimchi, who are part of the 2020 Future Innovators of East London Dance. And I want to thank them, East London Dance, for allowing us to help put this all together. Just a quick disclaimer, due to the nature of the discussions, there may be some sensitive topics discussed, so please take precaution for any trigger points or when listening with younger children. Also, you might hear me do some random sounds in the background as we're speaking, but don't be alarmed, because as part of the series, we will be carrying out creative tasks whilst we're chit-chatting, and today's task is to personalise a tote bag that symbolises either your definition of family, what family means to you, or a favorite family quote or motto that resonates with you. Now, personally, I'm excited for this one because I've been doing a lot more cooking during lockdown, and honestly, I can't afford to buy no more bags when I go grocery shopping. So trying to eat healthy is already expensive. You guys know that, right? It's already expensive. So this tote bag is going to be like attached to my hip. All the items made during this series will be available to see online after each episode, so keep an eye out for those on all our social media platforms. Now, we are going to go into our first task, so we can set the mood, set the vibrations. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
That was a strong yes. I love that.
I'm ready. Stay ready. You need to stay ready. Don't get ready.
Come on. Ready. Hey, save the bars for later, Okay, so each episode, I'm going to be guiding my guests and you, the listeners, in a short mindfulness exercise to prepare us for the conversation. Like, we're going to be taking a woosah moment before we enter those deep discussions, because we're going to be digging deep, getting emotional. So for this episode, the mindfulness exercise we will be doing is called Loving Kindness Meditation. So, I want you to get into a comfortable position. Take a deep breath in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. And for the next minute, whilst the music is playing, I want you to repeat the following affirmations. Now, you can either do this out loud or in your head. The affirmations are, repeat after me. May I be happy. May I be well. May I be filled with kindness and peace. So we're just going to do that one more time. Take a deep breath in. Hold. And exhale, take a deep breath out through your mouth. And repeat the following affirmation either in your head or out loud. May I be happy. May I be well. May I be filled with kindness and peace. Okay, so we're going to do that one more time. And we're just going to change the I into a you. And think of someone that you love, or someone that you want to put love on, or someone you just want to wish well, or if you just want to put it out into the world. And keep them in your mind as you take a deep breath in through your nose. And then exhale out through your mouth. And repeat the words either out loud or in your head. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be filled with kindness and peace. Now I just want you to sit with those phrases. Just sit quietly and just be aware of the feeling. Feel the sensations in your body. And then take another deep breath in through your nose. Hold. And finally, breathe out through your mouth. Amazing. That was our first mindfulness. That was a loving and kindness task. So hopefully you guys are all feeling refreshed and lovely. And I'm really hoping that you guys actually followed along at home and it wasn't just me sitting alone in my bedroom, because I will be personally offended and I'm looking through every single window. So thank you all for joining and doing that. Hopefully you're feeling refreshed and lovely as I do. And we're ready to tackle our first topic, because we are ready to jump in with the thick topic of what is family. Like, this is such a broad question. Like, I think for me, and guys, feel free to jump in wherever you want. So I'm from South Sudan, right? So I grew up with like 11 cousins. Like 30 of them were real, 40 of them were just someone from the same tribe. 20 of them were just my mom's friend's neighbor, and every elder that you met was like an auntie or an uncle. Like, that was it. Like, if they were older than you, straight auntie, uncle. So I grew up with like a very community-based idea of family. Did anyone else have like a similar or differing experience? Maybe we can start with Al or Ali. What was your like first-hand experience of family growing up?
First-hand experience. I come from quite a traditional family in that, you know, everyone's together all the time. So mm-hmm. I grew up with my dad's side of the family in Dubai. That's where I was born. I was born in Dubai. And obviously we had a big family, big Arabs, Iranians, a lot of them. And then we moved here and we kept it quite domesticated in between our own family. We didn't really, mm-hmm. you know, extend that invite outside of our own little circle. And yeah, I mean, what is family? I'd say family to me is the heart. You know, without the heart, the body is nothing.
No, I completely agree.
Oh, that was quite deep, innit? Oh my God, that was deep.
Just like straight off the bat. Like, you didn't waste no time.
One yoga session and you can call me Dalai Lama.
No, I appreciate that. So what made your family move to the UK?
Benefits, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, you sound like I'm joking. We're not very rich. We never really were. So we came here for a good life, like a new life. It's like the American dream, but we came to the UK.
But you know what?
I don't know how much it's working out, but we're getting there.
That's valid and resonate. Because like my family moved here as refugees because of the war that broke out. And then they had so many options. They had Australia, America. And then my family chose Birmingham, and I was like, "Father, I really why Birmingham?"
See, I'm not gonna lie. I think this is the greatest city in the world. I've never lived in Birmingham, but I'm very glad we're in London. You know, look at all the opportunities I'm afforded that my family in Dubai can't have. We're quite lucky. I say we. I'm talking about myself. I'm quite lucky.
No, I appreciate that. Love that. Cleo, what about you? What was your family dynamics?
I was fostered from 6 to 17. So I didn't really. Yeah, I don't know what to say, really. It was very unstable. I was in a lot of different foster homes. Not an awful lot. I don't know. People might have a lot to say about being in care. It's really a topic I could speak about for the majority of my life, but I just want to keep it brief. Very unstable. Integration... In terms of like integrating me into a family or their foster family, whatever foster care I was with, I think it was attempted, but I always felt like the outlier. I always felt like, the odd one in the group, in the family, which isn't very good for your mind, really. But the good news is I found my family all by myself because, you know, the government couldn't seem to find my family for me, so I found my family by myself, and ended up meeting some members of my family who are nice people, and they're quite successful, and good Christian traditional African people with a good heart, which is interesting because a lot of kids in care that find their family, they don't really find anything good. But I did, which is I'm lucky, I guess. So my definition of family, I would just say, like, I guess it's who you believe are family to you. I don't think it's got anything to do with actual biology and blood and, like, if they're your actual cousin or brother, sister, uncle, whatever. I just think it's down to how you interpret them, what you see, how you see them, and how you believe that person shapes your life, and whether you want them in your life for a long time or a short amount of time, or you know.
Yeah, so, that is absolutely beautiful. And I think it goes to illustrate what the title of this whole podcast actually means, Blood and Water. Because it makes that differentiation that we've got so many different dynamics in family already, like straight off the bat. We're only like a couple of minutes in, guys, and you lot are giving the audience the most. So like, it's beautiful to see like lots of different perspectives of family when it comes to our guests. So Shakira, what would be your dynamics growing up?
My dynamics growing up with family, I was always quite close with my family, to be fair. Obviously, as I've moved up in life and grown up and moved out of my family home, it's like we've become a bit more distant, but we're still there as a whole. I come from a very community-based area, so it's like if I come outside my house, like my nan used to live down the road, my auntie used to live further up the road, I had like my godparents on the same road as me, so it was just very community-based and I kind of enjoyed it. But what is family to me? Family doesn't necessarily have to be blood. It can be someone who checks on you every day, make sure you've eaten, make sure that your well-being is up there, that your mental health is okay, your physical health is okay. Family to me is like loyalty. Sharing love, accepting that person for who you are.
No, definitely. I like completely agree. Like, family is such like a broad dynamic. I know, like, even though I had grew up with such a large family as a creative, like, I recently discovered a whole new generation, a whole new caliber of family that I didn't realize. So I'm part of like a poetry collective called the Float Poets, and it's like discovering your soul tribe. And then I never knew that anyone outside of blood or outside of what I grew up with could be family until I went into that soul tribe. So a big part of the what is family is also the who is family. Like, in some ways, in order to find what family is, we need to know who the family are. So do you guys have different sets of family? Do you have a family outside of blood? Is there a collective or a relationship or a bond that you've created with someone that would be mostly described as water in terms of blood and water, but you still count them as your family?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think, for myself, outside of those who share the same blood as me, I can't call them family. I will love them like I love family, but when it comes down to it, they will never be family to me, because they have their own separate family, their own separate upbringing. At the end of the day, blood is really the only thing that is forever. I don't know, I guess that's just from my experience. Anyone that I've loved outside of my family comes and goes. But because me and my family, although we have a lot of disputes, like a lot, I've come from a fiery family. So we have a lot of disputes. And I always kind of really felt this odd one out, like Claude, or Cleo, sorry. Where did I get Claude from? But yeah, like Cleo said, he's the odd one out. I really felt like the odd one out as well. But we always got into a lot of fights and stuff. So I leaned on people outside of the family for that, for support. But I never saw them as family.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Because then that kind of like introduces the dynamic of, what if you grew up without any blood? Can you still have a family? So is there anyone that had like a different experience?
Just to interject, Mr. Outlaw Ali, what if you got married and I don't know your thoughts and feelings on marriage and stuff, but if you got married, how would you see, what would be your interpretation of your step family? If you got like really close to them and obviously your wife,
I wouldn't even call it a step family. That almost becomes your family, because eventually you share that. It's a different connection. It's almost more important than family to me. I'll be honest with you, in my life, I think the one thing I seek is that eternal love, because that eternal love, that romantic love you have, is really the only thing that lasts forever outside of the blood you share with family. So it's a different form of a bond, but I wouldn't say it is like family. You know, I don't really have, I don't really get intimate with my family in that way. Do you know what I mean? But that is a special bond that's different for me.
No, that's completely valid. And that makes a lot of sense. I love that you still regard them as family, even though they're not blood related.
Yeah. It's just a shame. I feel like, I don't know about you guys and girls, but I've loved a lot of people outside of my family, and the love isn't always returned. There's always an expiry date. Whereas with the people in my family, that love has never really expired. No matter what we go through, no matter what storm we face, we always come out on the other end together again at the table, having a cup of tea.
But I've been through that similar situation where obviously I call people my family. They're not my blood, but they're my family. And it's like we've been through certain situations that we just can't ever rekindle, if you know what I mean. But as my family, no matter what we go through, judgment, whatever it is, we can always come back. So I completely agree with that.
Even that's a blessing by God. Like, we are blessed beyond measure, you know. That's something not everyone, like, that's a luxury that we have. It's a great luxury.
Because I have known some blood that I've had to cut off just because there are certain parameters that you can't or shouldn't be able to cross, regardless of blood or water. And I feel like a lot of blood relatives, they kind of disregard that fact, but you still remain to call them family. So at that point, I feel like I can still have water as family, in the same regards as I do blood, because they have that respect or for my feelings and for my boundaries that certain blood relatives just do not have. So it's crazy to see that dynamic.
I think I just separate family and love, because you know how some people don't have family, like some people aren't as fortunate, you know, not everyone is fortunate to be raised by great people. Like, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't say I was raised in the best way. I kind of raised myself in a lot of ways. But yeah, that's why I separate love and family. Like, you can love so many people outside of your family, almost more than you do your family. I have in the past. I can chit chat for days, love. I'm sorry. You gotta stop me.
Nothing to be sorry for.
That's it's what just, we're here for. We're here to talk and discuss and say all the words.
This is the Blood and Water podcast.
It is an interesting question that I think a lot of people should give a lot of thought to. Because I wouldn't say I have much water or blood. I would say I have none at all. Like, I've just met some members of my family, like, literally the last year. I've gone pretty much all my life without really knowing anyone in my family. And the people I have had as family, I don't talk to them, and it didn't really work out. You know, the relationship didn't end great. And the people I have as water don't really understand the upbringing I've had.
I've got a question. You know, when you rekindled your relationship with your family members, or, you know, the ones who weren't around when you were younger, did you feel like an instant warmth? Did you feel like an instant connection? Or did it feel a bit distant? Like, did it feel like a stranger, or did it feel like someone familiar to you?
The member of family that I met a few members of my family, but like they knew things about my mum and dad, which kind of made me feel a familiarity to them, like, as, you know, biological members of my family, because they had they knew information about my mum and dad that I would never have been told by social services, and that wasn't documented anywhere for me to see. So that made me feel like, and some of them had pictures of me that I haven't seen before. And so I did feel like an instant connection, but I did feel quite distant as well, because I know that I'm going to have a certain outlook on life, and I'm going to have certain beliefs and certain experiences that they can't relate to. So it was simultaneously a bit of both.
It's interesting,
actually. It is. It's interesting even having this conversation with you guys and other people in the world, just to, you know, their interpretation of what significant family is to them. It's just an interesting conversation.
It's that I can fully, sorry.
No, continue.
I was going to say that I could fully relate to Cleo's scenario there, because obviously I grew up in a single mother household. I didn't have my dad around. I didn't know my dad. And I met him when I was like 19. So when I first met my family on that side, I get what Ali's saying about the warmth, because I did feel it. It's like a void had been filled, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know if that warmth was because a void had been filled, or if it was because I was a bit wary and curious or anxious, because obviously I didn't know the other side of me. I only knew my mum's side. So I can completely agree with what both of you are saying with that.
See, this is what I love about humankind. Look, we all live such different, separate lives, but look at how we find similarities. I swear, if more of the world done that, there'd be so much more peace in this world, because we're all so much more similar than we are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think the world does do that, but once people start putting themselves into groups and identifying themselves by their religion or race or gender, that's when it gets all... Because everyone individually, I feel like I've had a lot of conversations with people, and I think people know the world is small, and people are no longer surprised by how much they have in common with one another. I just feel like people want to say they're pro-black or I'm LGBTQ, and that all that stuff separates people. We're all, you know, we all have something, you know, very similar, every single person in the world, which is such a shame.
Like, speaking of similarities, but, yeah. What kind of, think of like your closest family member, like your Cody, the one that you're like, yeah, you're not going anywhere, you're my family. Like, what kind of similarities do you think you share, and what really bonds you as family? Is it growing up together? Is it a common interest? Like, what really ties you together as a family and makes you think that, yeah, you guys are solid?
Well, it's weird for me. I'm a family of four siblings rather. There's two older brothers, two younger sisters. The oldest brother shares, so he's born in on the 25th of the month, and so is the oldest sister. And the youngest brother, that's me, the middle one, and then the youngest sister are both born on the 3rd. So she's the 3rd of January, I'm the 3rd of March. And we are so similar, and they are so similar, which is a weird coincidence. So I'd say me and the youngest sister share a lot of similarities in that we like the same films, same music, very open-minded people, not so driven by finance, more about love. We're like hippies. I just got a bit sidetracked. What was the question, love?
Like, what kind of similarities bring you together as family, and what makes you think that this is a family bond? Is it because you guys grew up together, or is it just because you share so much in common? Like, what would be the main factor?
I guess because we grew up in the same environment, exactly the same environment, there is no one on earth, that will ever share the same bond that I have with my younger sister, because we are so similar in our environment, in our families, in our school settings, in our likes and dislikes. I'd say she's probably like my best friend, honestly.
Aww.
Or she could be if she was less stubborn. She's a bit of a
Taurus energy. What about you, Shakira? Your closest family member, what draws you to them?
I don't really know. I can't say. That's really hard for me. Because I'm not, like, extremely close to my family like that anymore. But I'm not exactly distant from them either. It's a tough one. I'd say my little brother and sister, even though we don't speak every day, you know, like, when we get together, it's like nothing's ever changed, you know what I mean? And we've grown up in similar environments of, like, fatherhood, for example. Like, they've always had their dad there. But their parents split up, if you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
with me, it's like I've never had my dad there. So it's like we can relate to certain things, but we can't because we're just so different. But yeah, I'd say my little brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I noticed you said something interesting. You said, I'm no longer close to my family. So do you feel like you only get one family and that's it? Or do you feel like you can create another family?
I feel like you can only have one family, but you can also create a family. Because obviously, right, like, when you get into relationships and stuff, like, people have babies, that's a relationship there. You don't necessarily have to be together with your partner or whatever, but you can still have that relationship there for the child. So,
if we're keeping it real, the truth, this is the truth, and it's quite an ugly truth. You only get one family in life, but you can always form a family that you can lean on as if you would a generic family. Does that make sense? We can form a family bond with a group of people, and that can emulate a family. But really, if we're talking facts, you only have one set of parents, one set of siblings, if you're lucky enough to have that. But you shouldn't, like, lose faith. You can always form a family.
Amazing.
As long as you have love in your heart and God by your side, honestly.
Come on.
Honestly, yeah, it's true. What Ali said is true. Like, but biologically, I guess you can only have one, you know. Yeah. You're made from a sperm and an egg that come from two different people, you know. But within however big or small your family is, I think you can have, like, a more immediate family. Like, say, for example, I don't know, you could be raised by your grandparents or your uncle, and they might be more significant to you than your mum and dad. And when you have your own family, like your son, and not to everyone, but your son and or daughter will be more important to you than your mum and what they're doing and what your mum and dad are doing. I think so. Maybe not for everyone.
You're listening to Blood and Water.
That was an interesting conversation. I'm not sure in the short 30 to 45 minutes that we have that we can even start to answer the question, what is family? But I think we've had a very good foundation, and I love you guys' input and your different perspectives. It made me think, like, I wasn't even asking questions, like, the whole time I was just like listening. You guys can't see it, but like on the video, my mouth is just like wide open the whole time, like, yeah, that's it. So just to wrap up, I think from my end, I think what we can agree on is the definition is very loose. Webster defines family as a group consisting of two parents and their children living together as a unit, or all of the descendants of a common ancestor. Now, that's fair and well, but as we've explored during this discussion, family is definitely a multifaceted function. And in as much as you are definitely born into a family, you can also create familial relationships outside of blood. So, does anyone have any final thoughts in terms of what is family and who are family?
I think if you're lucky enough to have family that have good in them, try and look at the good and use that good to solve the bad. I say that because me and my family, I don't know if you guys probably don't keep up with me, but I'm quite open with me and my family dynamics, and we go through a lot of ups and downs, but they're really good people. Put it this way, if you like yourself, you have to like the people who made you that, because it's a part of them that made you into who you are. So if you like yourself, then you have to like the family that raised you, for good or for bad. So yeah, always look for the light in the dark room.
Look for the light in the dark room. I want to see that on your tote bag. That's a quote and a half. Look for the light in your dark room. Does anyone else have any final thoughts?
I think I sort of agree with Outlaw Ali, but I think your family, either way, I think they'll inspire you. Like, you'll be inspired to be exactly like them, or you'll be inspired to be nothing like them. But either way, they'll inspire you. And if bad things have happened, I would say, in your family, I would say, don't let it eat you up. Try and find forgiveness in your heart. And don't walk around with... Don't become that negative energy that you've received. And if a lot of good things have happened, I would say be grateful and be mindful that it could change, but be grateful of the good things, and really let your family appreciate, let them know, be appreciative of what they've done for you. Because some people, I think they take their family for granted. A lot of people take their family for granted.
Amazing. So.
That's
beautiful.
I just want to make one thing clear, though. I don't think anyone should stay in a toxic situation. Like, take care of yourself above everything and anything. If it is getting a bit too much for you, then take control of the situation. Because if you don't take care of yourself, and clearly they're not taking care of you, that's a one-way ticket off the cliff. Do you know what I mean? So look after yourself. Take control of the controllables, innit?
Facts. All of these into my personal mantras. Look after yourself, take control of the uncontrollable. Shakira, do you have any last words?
I'm just thinking here, like, concerning family and stuff, like what Cleo said again, I was thinking, like, always make sure you tell your family that you appreciate them, even if it's small little gestures, by saying, how are you today, have you eaten, stuff like that. Yeah, running along the same lines. Like, if it's toxic for you, leave it. If it's for you, stay with it, work on it, help it grow, water it. You know what I mean?
That was amazing. You guys are all brilliant. And this is why I believe in the universe and synchronicity, because I agree with every single one of your points that you've absolutely made. So I want to say thank you to all of you guys for coming onto this podcast and sharing your experiences and your thoughts and your mind. For me personally, I find solace in that we can have family in both blood and water. And I am grateful and thankful for all of them. Amen. In both aspects. So we are going to finish here. Thank you guys for listening and rocking with us. Don't forget, this is only part one. We are going to be back with some more amazing guests with some beautiful, beautiful topics for you and creative tasks. Now, my tote bag, I'm not going to lie. You might have to see the finished product once this is released, but I'm halfway there. I've got a quote from, like, my father's my favorite person. I used to go to him and say that I'm bored. And he's like, are you bored? You can't be bored. You've not read every book in the world. So that is my quote on my tote bag. And you will be able to see all of the tote bags from our three creatives that have joined us today. If you go online and look at the pictures, just make sure you follow us. I just want to say thank you again for tuning in. This has been a great episode. Huge, massive thank you to all of our guests. I've been talking to you directly. I have all of your personal Instagrams, but can you tell the people when and where they can find you? Outlaw Ali.
Yes. So find me on Instagram at Arab Outlaw. I'll be on Twitter, Outlaw Ali 1. At Facebook, it's Outlaw Ali. And yeah, stream my music. I recently released a song called Motherless Child, which I think is quite on topic. So yeah, check it out. Tell me what you think. Come and join the vibe. Join the community. It's a good place to be.
Amazing. And so, Kira, do you want to just shout out the people, tell them where they can find you and where?
Hey, guys. So you can find me on Instagram at official Shakira Atlanta. You can find me on Twitter, Shakira Atlanta. And yeah.
Amazing. And Cleo, if you just want to shout out to the people, when and where they can find you.
Hello. No underscores, no numbers, all lowercase. Cleo Hattori. Hattori is spelled H-E-T-T-O-R-I. That's pretty much the only place you can find me, because I'm not a big social media fan.
Exclusive.
Feel free to message me. Yes, exactly. Exclusively on Instagram. Feel free to send me a direct message. I will reply very quickly and very in depth. enjoy.
Amazing.
Enjoy our tote bags.
Where can we find you, Beth?
Amazing. You can find me all over the gaff. Honestly, nice. As always, I have been your host, Miss Bexy Bex. I am the Bedroom Poet on Instagram. That is at bedroompoetry_, or you can follow me on my personal page, Bexy Bex. That's BECKSYBECKS. Just want to say a big, huge thank you to our field producers, Lucine and Kim G, that have been messing around in the background, keeping us all in check. So if you want to follow them, their Instagrams are at LIS for Lucine and at Kimchi, that's KIMCHI_LE. You can also follow at THEFI.ELD and East London Dance for more information on the wider festival, MISA. And before we go, we just have a few quick words from the one and only Mr. Outlaw Ali. So if you want to take it away, thank you.
I just thought I'd end with my quote. I think the quote I came up with is, blood is the compass to your purpose.
Boy,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
This podcast is programmed as part of MESA Festival, a week-long multi-arts festival that aims to engage young artists, elevate underrepresented voices, and provide a seat at the table for those without one. It is produced by The Field, a unique program from East London Dance to develop the future innovators of dance, equipping them with the skills and resources to make their ideas happen. Thank you for listening.